come to share with you this morning. You'll notice in the bulletin that we have the scripture reading next, but that's not the way I'm going to do it. I'm going to have that incorporated within my message, and so we'll have that here shortly. But today, as I began as your new pastor, you don't know much about me. Some of you don't. Some of you know more than others. I don't know much about you. I know a little more about some of you than I do others. You know, perhaps it would have made more sense for us to got to know each other a little bit more before we started this day, before we jumped in this together. Probably the way I'm going to look at our time together is we should look at this relationship like you do a marriage. A couple who gets married doesn't know as much as they think they do about each other before getting married. They find out a lot about each other after the honeymoon is over. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to find out about each other as time goes on. And I want to make a promise to you, however. I will be faithful to you as your pastor. And I will serve this congregation with your best interest in mind. I will focus on what do you need in order to grow in your faith, in your relationship to Jesus Christ. I want to know what it is that you need in order to be all that you can be for Jesus Christ. And I will be dedicated to help you grow in that relationship with God. That is my concern as your pastor. My first concern is, what do you need in order to be all that you can be for God? And that's what I will focus on. If there is a time that I need to confront you and say, you should not be doing that, because I believe that is interfering with your relationship with God, I'm going to say that because I love you and I care about what's happening. I would not want you to be having something going on in your life that is going to not be good for you in your relationship to God. And I'm going to encourage you when I see that you are doing the things that will bring blessings to you and your family and to those about you. My concern is your concern. What is good for you in your journey that we call faith? So, what am I going to do this morning in this message? What I want to do is I want to let you know a little bit about me. And at least know what my vision is for ministry. What my vision is for how God has, I believe, called me to this place to be your pastor. I want to let you know how that vision of what I believe God has called me to will impact the way I will do things as pastor. There will be things that you may suggest that we do as a church, and I will say no. And why would I say no? Because I do not believe that is where God is calling us to be part of the work that we need to do. We can do lots of things in the name of God. We can do lots of things for the church, but that may not be what is best for us in order to do what God is calling us to do as a church. And so there's going to be things I'm going to say no to, because I don't think it fits into the vision or the plan of how we as a congregation might best serve this community. There will be things that I hope that you will suggest that I will say, yes, you are right on. This is where God would have us to be working as a church here in this community. But together, that's going to be, for me, I'm going to run it through where my understanding of the vision that God has called me here and the work to do at Lakeside. Now, actually, I have spent the past month working and praying for you and working on your behalf in defining and focusing and sharpening my theology of ministry. And I've kind of put that down so that you can see that in a website that we created this past month. And I am so thankful to Dave Heckman because of his training that he had in website design and publishing. He and I got together and he put his skills together and I put some of my thoughts and the work that I had done, and we came up with what I feel like defines the ministry that we're going to be about as we start on this journey of faith together. And so you're going to be hearing a lot about it. It's Lakeside COB, which means Church of the Brethren, lakesidecob.org. And it is in that website that what I'm going to say this morning is all spelled out there in a more expansive way than what I'm saying here this morning. So I'm just going to be recapturing what you would find there. And now, as I go through and share with you a vision that I have for the church, at the end of this message, I'm going to give you a chance to ask me some questions. So I'm going to plan on doing this, and I don't know how this is going to work out, but I plan on doing this for every Sunday worship that I preach. I'm going to give you a few minutes to ask me questions. Because, see, I'm going to stand up here with a collective audience, and I can say whatever I want. You might agree with me, or you might not agree with me. So I'm going to give you a chance to rebuttal what I say. To challenge, you might end up saying, "I don't believe a word you said this morning, Jerry," or you might say, "I want to ask, what did you mean when you said that in your message?" Now, let me give you a qualification. When I say I'm going to give you a chance to ask some questions, it's going to be a very short span of time. I'm not going to be able to answer all the questions you might have. I may have to do that at some other time. But I'm going to give you a chance at least. And it's only going to be a few minutes. So if I'm not finished in a few minutes, too bad. I'm going to cut it off, and that's going to be the end of that. But I'm going to hope that that would be a continual conversation that you and I would have, that we could talk about what is our ministry? What is God doing in our life? What is God doing in this church? What is it that we are called to be about? So we're going to continue that. That's going to be a lifelong process as long as I'm pastor here, that we're going to be asking questions and we're going to be seeking to do what God would have us to do. So, with that said, anytime I preach, my preaching is going to be from the Word of God. I am not up here to tell you what I think or what I believe or what I hold to be true. It's what I believe God's Word says and what it holds to be true. And that's where my message is going to come from today. And so I'm going to be sharing with you from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, verses 16 through 20. Now, as we do that, I want to mention something to you about the book of Mark. In my studies as a pastor, I understood that Mark was the first gospel written. And all the other gospels were written as they read Mark. You will find that in all the gospels, there are certain passages in every one of the gospels called the synoptic gospel. In other words, some things that Jesus said you'll find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There'll be some things that you won't find, but there is nothing that Mark said is not found in all three Gospels at some point. And that's one of the reasons they believe it was the first and it's the oldest manuscript. Now, what I find so interesting in this passage of Scripture, in the first chapter of Mark, we find Jesus speaking to those we call disciples to follow Him. The first chapter. Jesus is calling people to follow Him. So let's hear the Word of God from Mark 1. And let's see. Let's read it together. Let's do it in unison. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come," follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their net. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. And may God bless the reading of his word this morning. You know, I'm fascinated by that passage of Scripture. Early in Mark, beginning of the gospel, Jesus was walking by the sea. And what's fascinating about this is that Jesus didn't say, "You come and follow me." It wasn't a command. He said, "Come, follow me." And it wasn't an expectation, like, "You must follow me." It was, "Come, follow me." And it's interesting that all that Jesus did was give an invitation. It wasn't a command, it wasn't an expectation, it was an invitation. He said, "Come, follow me." Now, do you think Jesus ever called anyone and they said no? Oh, yes. Jesus called those people that we read in the Scripture, and you think Jesus just calls certain types of people? He looks out and he says, "No, I won't ask you to come, and I won't ask you. I'm just going to ask certain people that I know they're the kind of people I want to follow me." Do you think Jesus did that? Of course not. Jesus called everyone, and he's calling you this morning and me. Same way. The same invitation he gave them is the invitation that he gives us. He's simply saying, "I'm inviting you to follow me." Now, if you're going to follow, I intend to kind of put out a little outline in the bulletin that you might follow along where you know where I'm going with my message. And so if you're going to follow along, I'm going to give you some ways to fill that out as we're going through it this morning. Now, I want to ask the question, why did Jesus call those first disciples? We read together that he was walking along the sea. He saw Peter and Simon. He saw his brother Andrew. And he said, "Come and follow me." Why do you think Jesus called those men to follow him? Well, yes, he didn't have just a specific assignment for them. He didn't exactly say, "This is what you're going to do when you follow me." He called them with an expectation, in some sense, in the same way that he would us. And here's as you'll want to follow along with the outline, here's what it said. He called them into a relationship with himself. He simply said, "Come here. I want you to know who I am." You know that's what Jesus is doing to you this morning? Jesus is saying, "I want you to know who I am. So I want to call you to come into a relationship with me. I want you to learn who I am. Be a friend. I want to be a friend to you. I just want you to be in relationship to me." That's the first thing that he did. The second thing, he called them to give them a larger purpose for living. In other words, he said, "Come and I will make a difference in your life with how you impact other people, how you live." In other words, come on. If you will come with me, I will let your life have a purpose. He said, the third reason, he called them into a deeper meaning of life. He said, "I want you to know that the way you're living your life is not what I want for you. I want you to not only just have life, I want you to have the abundant life. And the only way you can have abundant life is you can't give it to yourself. Only Jesus can give that to you." And he said, "I want you to follow me so that I can give you a fuller meaning of life." He called them for the fourth reason, to create them into a new family. He says, I want you to be a part of the kingdom of God. Have you read how many times in the New Testament that Jesus said that the kingdom of God is coming? Do you know what the kingdom of God is? Here it is. It's the church. Jesus said, I want life to be here on earth as it is in heaven. And that is, if you follow me and you obey me and you are with me and you let me live in you, then the kingdom of God has come here on earth. And so, one of the things that he was telling them, I want you to be a part of this family. I want you to be a part of the kingdom of God. And then the fifth thing he said, he called them to change their lives for the better. He said, you know what? I know you're probably not living your life the way that you were created to live it. He said, so I want you to be born again. In other words, he said, I want you to become a new child of God. The way you become a new child of God, you put away the old things of life and you take on the new things of life. You take on the things of God. You take on the things of Christ. And when you do, you become a part of the family of God. And here's the last thing that I believe the reason he called them. He called them to get involved in his work. He said, if you come, I will teach you how to be fishers of men. In other words, he said, Jesus said, I'm the way, and I'm the truth, and I'm the life, and I want you to follow me so that you can know and be a part of that life. So there's just, in a thumbnail, several of the reasons that Jesus called those first men to follow him. And do you know what? That is what he is calling you for and me. The same reason. Now, they left everything. What made them do that? What made them look around to their father who's in the boat with the nets and decide to throw the nets down and walk out of there not knowing what that's going to mean for them? What created that? I am not sure. But if you've ever followed Jesus, there's probably come a time in your life that you said, you know what? I've got to put all this behind me. And I've just got to follow him. Not knowing where it's going to take me, not knowing what's it going to mean. If you've ever had that experience, you know exactly why those men left that boat and followed him. You see, Jesus is calling today for you and to me, for us to follow him. And when Jesus began his ministry, he began to preach the good news. And he began to call people to repent. He said, because you know what repenting is? It means you're living your life for yourself. And if you're living your life for yourself, you don't understand what the true meaning of life is. You have to give up your life in order to find what my life is about and how to live that. He said you need to repent and become part of the kingdom of God because it was at hand. Now, what I'm going to do, let me see. I got to figure out, I don't have much time left, do I? I want to kind of honor the time that we have here because my wife is smiling really big. She knows I can just preach and preach and preach and just keep on going. So what I'm going to do is modify my remarks here with the time that I have left because I want to honor that. And I want to kind of just give you, if we are going to be a church that God has called us to be a part of this community, and God has called us to share the good news of Jesus Christ and to be a part of that kingdom, that to reach out to others, then we are going to want to be inviting people in this community to be a part of us. We want them to be a part of what we believe God has called us to. And there's a reason that they and you and I should be involved in this work. And here they are, and I'm going to give them to you very quickly with the time left. The first reason that you should get involved is that because the church exists to help people discover Jesus Christ, to have a real relationship with him, to have a purposeful life. So as a church, we have the real hope for life and that purpose and meaning, and we want to help others. Now, this is my call My call is for unchurched people. We could go around and we could find people who've been in churches and people are in other churches and other places, and we could call them to come and be a part of our church. But that's not what I want to be about. I don't want to call people that are already working in other churches. I want to call people who are unchurched. And unchurched means people who don't have a church as their home church. People who may have had a church at one time, but they got hurt by people in the church, or they got hurt by something that happened, and they quit going to church, and they don't go anymore. Unchurched is people who do not have a church home. That is the people that I want us to have a heart for and to be working for. And so, you know, there's a high number of people who hit their pillows every night feeling like their day was wasted. Somehow, life just didn't have fulfillment for them. Somehow, they didn't move anything ahead in the walk of that they wanted to have in life. They didn't touch any lives. They didn't do anything that would outlive them and what they're about. So my question is, as a church, what can we do to be able to lay our head on a pillow at night and say, Lord, thank you that you allowed me, you called me to follow you and to be a part of this work here at Lakeside. Well, the way that you could do that is to get involved in what we're going to be doing in the next weeks and months and years ahead to be part of the life of Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, I said the reason you should get involved, the first one, is because it will make a difference and a new beginning here at Lakeside. I know that several years ago, you borned a vision to be a church to reach out into this community for people that are hurting and broken and that don't know Jesus Christ. And that vision continues today. But on Easter Sunday, here on Easter Sunday is where I want us to launch that new beginning movement, attitude, atmosphere. I want us to say that, God, we're going to be praying from now until Easter Sunday morning. And it is that time that we are going to dedicate ourselves to you, and we're going to start a new beginning because we are going to dedicate and commit ourselves to you. What we want to do is we want to be a church that will help people find their way back to God. People who may have never given their life to God, or people who did but who have gotten far away and they need to be brought back. So Easter Sunday is a time to do that. That is a time when Jesus Christ, when he gave his whole life and he died and he said, I give myself for all of mankind, that on that Easter Sunday morning, God by his power raised him to new life and gave him a new beginning after giving his all. That is what I want us to do on Easter Sunday. And next Sunday, I'm going to have some little cards. And it's just going to simply say, it's going to be an invite card. And I hope that people that you will be praying for and you will be seeing from now until Easter, that you will want to just pass out a card and say, this is Lakeside Church and we'd love to have you come Easter Sunday and join us for worship. In other words, in order to be ready for a new beginning, we need to be doing something for that new beginning, and that's what it's going to be. We're going to have a new beginning. We're going to launch that on Easter Sunday morning. Here's the second reason that you should get involved, to reach people for Christ. Do you know anybody that's hurting in life? Anybody that life is all messed up? Anybody that's been beaten down? Anybody that's got brokenness in their lives? Of course you do. And I do too. And we want to share with them an answer for that brokenness. And what is it? It's love. It's the love of God. God wants us to love people enough that we care about them, to reach out to them, to give them the answer. You know, isn't it something that if we had a cure for cancer and all we did was had zipped up lips and we never told anybody how you could be cured of cancer, how awful that would be? Well, what about the fact that we have the greatest news possible that people can have new life in Jesus Christ, but we never tell them how to have that? Well, one of the ways to tell them is to come to church and join us in hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's the third thing. The third reason why you should get involved is to make Lakeside a life-giving church. We expect God to transform lives, but God needs hands and feet and mouths and love and heart of other people to reach out to those. There are people that are in need of a life-giving church in this community, and we want to be that church. So here's what you need to do. You need to pray. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for your family members. Pray for your coworkers. Pray for your acquaintances in the marketplace. Pray for the lost by name. Pray for the unchurched. And you can help people by praying for them. And that's the first thing we should do. The second thing is get acquainted with people. Is there anyone that you know that you could invite them into your home to have a cup of coffee? Somebody you can invite them to go out with you to a sporting event or a concert. Invite them to have a meal or coffee and cake. In other words, invite people to get to know you. And like I said, next Sunday I'm going to have an invite card in the bulletin. You could use that just to hand that to and say that it's a way of saying that you care about them and you want them to come and be a part of the church. Here's the third thing the third thing that we can do by being a life-giving church, and that is to help the spiritually wounded. People are hurting every day. People are wanting people not to, they don't want to be alone. They want people to care about them. They want to have a relationship. They want a place where they can feel accepted and where they can come and hear about their needs and find a people who care enough that want to help them in that healing. We can do that. We can make a difference by being a life-giving church. And here's the last thing in the outline why you should get involved. It's not just go to church, but be the church. You know, a lot of times, each of us, we think that we can make life on our own. But you can't. You weren't created that way. God didn't intend for it to be that way. We need each other in order to have the fullness of life, in order to be what God created us to be. None of us are self-sufficient, that we might think we are, and we often think we are. You see, you have gifts that I don't have. And I might have some gifts that you don't have. Together, we make up a strong body and group of people who can do a lot of things together. But I can't do it alone because I don't have those gifts. You can't do it alone because you don't. But together, we do have that. And there are going to be people that God are going to be bringing into this church that we want to welcome because God is bringing them here for us because we need what they have in order for us to be strong together. God put us here on earth to do a certain work that only those individuals can do. And God has a plan for us to do that work, but it's not alone. We need people to work with us because we want to be a part of a church that as we work together, that we will find that God will allow us to share that work together and accomplish more for the glory of God when we are doing it together. And so, that's simply my message. That's simply what I want to share with you this morning. We want to invite you to dedicate yourself to that, and we want you to be inviting others. Now, I want to conclude with this verse of Scripture. Who is Jesus calling this morning to follow me? Just like he walked out on the seaside, he saw Simon and Andrew, he saw James and John, and he said, come here, follow me. Who is Jesus calling this morning? Follow me. Well, listen to the verse in Luke 9, verses 23 and 25. And it said that Jesus looked out over the crowd and he hollered out to them, he called out to them, "If any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your life. You must give up your own way. And you must take up your cross daily and follow me. And if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you yourself are lost or destroyed?" Would you pray with me? Loving God, thank you so much for your gift of life this day. Thank you, Father, for allowing me to come and to share what you have laid upon my heart with these that I call my new family. Oh God, I pray that as we walk this journey together, that you will show us how to follow you. And in following you, Lord, that you will teach us how to be fishers of men. And how, Father, that you can let us know what the kingdom of God looks like as we share and are part of that. Thank you, Lord. I praise you. And as we sing our closing song together, Lord, we just rededicate ourselves to you again this day. And we thank you as we pray this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. So would you stand with me as we sing together?